Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It's 9:08 and it's Thursday. Gorgeous day out the window. Feels like full on fall and winter. It's freezing in the morning. So cold. Getting frosty. Was it frosty at your house again this morning?
Not this morning, no.
No, not as bad.
But I also was learned my lesson and didn't squirt water onto the windshield too,
right.
So that helped.
Right. You have to get out there with your ice.
It's chilly
scraper.
Though, for sure.
Yeah, it's nice. It's crisp. I like this time of year. All the trees are super pretty. The surf's great.
I mean, the best. This is the best time.
It is the best time.
I'm in heaven right now.
It's also one of the best times to visit Disneyland because they've got all their Christmas decorations up. They do such a nice job there.
All right.
It's a different one.
What?
It's a different song from Coco from yesterday.
All right, let's... Who's he in love with?
I don't know. Music. He's in love with music.
Oh. Well, that's very nice.
For my non-Spanish-speaking friends, un poco loco is a little bit crazy in English.
Thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So helpful.
I know.
Just wanted to,
That's
if I could.
Fantastic.
Here's a couple texts before the boys take over and tell us what's happening in the world of movies.
What movies we shouldn't see.
Bitcoin is now almost at 19,000.
Oh, my God.
925 just texted that in.
What the hell? That's incredible.
FYI, tis the season for layoffs because most companies are in their last quarter of their fiscal year. It's a move, and it's unfortunate. It stinks to see a company trying to straighten their books out with bodies. But it's a move. Geek Squad is right. I have all of my mom's passwords for everything since I tend to be her IT department.
Yeah. You got to have that person. It's expensive, or you're sitting on the phone all day trying to get help. Let's start with the plug. Can you make sure you're plugged in?
Is it on?
All right, let's push the on button.
415 says, my husband wrote in his wedding vows that he promised to be tech support for me and my family.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, I think he's regretted it ever since. Mm.
The whole family was there. Yeah.
Not the marriage.
Right. The whole family heard it.
Lucas was given away a bunch of royalties because he had no clue how successful Star Wars was going to be. He gave Spielberg 10% in exchange for 10% of Close Encounters.
Oh.
Which isn't a fair trade.
Uh-uh.
Not even close.
And Close Encounters is a hit movie.
Yeah,
it's
but not
certainly
even
not
right.
on the
no.
scale of, uh-uh. I mean, he lost in that one. That's pretty funny. Oh, man, Spielberg is doing Ready Player One. That's coming out, I think, in March. Oh, please don't screw it up, Mr. Spielberg, sir. What a book.
415. LOL, my 15-year-old daughter said, did Sarah say funner things?
I sure did.
408 says, I'm so sorry, Yuzi. How did your brother die, if you don't mind me asking?
He, unfortunately, purchased a motorcycle. And
like that day?
That day.
Ugh.
And I specifically went to the boy's house that he bought it from and begged him to not sell my brother the motorcycle.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yes. He lived down the street from us a little bit in Noe Valley.
And what the boy have to say for himself? I'm doing it?
Yep.
Oh,
he wanted
that
the
kid
money.
Must have felt horrible afterwards.
I don't know what he felt. I never talked to him.
No.
That was that.
Yeah. But he bought the motorcycle and was, I think...
How old was he?
19.
And your dad didn't have any say in that then, huh?
My dad didn't know.
Oh.
This
all happened in the space of a couple hours.
My brother bought a car and my dad didn't even know. He parked it two blocks away.
Oh, my God.
Well, when I got a motorcycle, my mom stopped talking to me.
Mm.
as in never talk to me at all.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone and she'd, hey, Mom. She'd just put it down and walk away from it.
Ugh, I don't blame her.
I was like, months went by and that lady didn't say a word to me. Mm.
Did you have to get rid of the bike?
Well, I did for a different reason, but yes. She didn't talk to me again until after I got rid of the motorcycle. That was it. She wouldn't talk to me.
Mm-hmm. So he bought it and a truck hit him. And the truck kept going.
Here in the city.
The truck kept going?
On Sanchez Street.
Did they find the guy?
No.
You never found the guy.
Never found the guy that killed my brother.
Oh, my God. And I assume no helmet?
Correct.
Helmets weren't a thing probably then.
Oh, use that.
Should Ed Sheeran go to the royal wedding? Didn't he get hammered with Princess Eugenie and the other one, and one of them clocked him with a saber?
That's
right. He got his. Yeah. He has a scar on his face from where she was.
They were
drunkenly knighting him, and she cut his face open.
Yep.
Oh, that's a great story.
Ed Sheeran played guitar on Ellen recently. No cast that I could see, and he sounded fine.
Oh, okay. Boy, that's a quick. Well, he's young.
Yeah. And I believe he just baptized James Blunt's baby.
Oh.
Yeah, he's the godfather.
415 says, my parents knew I was gay when I entered the Tiger Beat Win a Date with David Cassidy contest.
That's how he came out to his parents. That's so cute. Oh, that's so cute.
Do you remember earlier when I was laughing and you said, what? What is it? That's what it was.
That is pretty
that
funny.
That is one of my favorite texts of the day.
All right.
Hit the intro there, Hooman.
Here we go.
It's over here.
Yes.
Excellent. I love that.
I thought I was going to get the Un Poco Loco intro.
Right? Do you want that?
I think it's time to switch it up.
Bryn's not here to switch it up. Yeah. You can ask for that.
I'll send him an email.
You know where that button is? Hit Un Poco Loco.
All right, here we go.
Vinny's like, I want to hear the song. That seems to make more sense for me. You've been practicing on your Mexican yell. I like that.
Yeah, for 25 years.
It's been a long time. I'm not new to my love of Mexico.
I dig that.
All right, Hooman, it's time to get to business.
All right.
You got it.
So before we get into the not anticipated at all Wonder Wheel, we're going to talk about The Shape of Water. So listen, everyone, we're going to get into this one a little bit, so there might be some spoilers, so don't freak out. Don't write bad texts. This film stars Richard Jenkins and Octavia Spencer, and I didn't see it, but Rudy saw it. Rudy, what's this film about?
This film is about this is 1960s America, okay? The American government has just come across a half-man, half-amphibian creature in the Amazon, and in an attempt to study it and get ahead of the Soviets in terms of science, they capture it, they bring it into a lab, and while it's in the lab, held in captivity, and they're poking and prodding it, Eliza, our hero in the story, Eliza, played by Sally Hawkins, she's a mute, and she works at the laboratory, cleaning the laboratory, and she finds a connection with the half-amphibian, half-man, and a love story ensues after that.
Can we assume the love story has to do with her wanting to rescue him and her seeing him being tortured?
Most definitely. They make a connection. They connect through music. They connect through like sign language and whatnot. She realizes that there's a spirit within that creature, and she kind of sees a little bit of herself in the creature, because she's a mute, so she feels like she's kind of on the outskirts of society, and she sees the creature who's held in captivity feels the same way, and that's when they have a connection.
Everyone is raving about Sally Hawkins.
Right.
What else has she been in? Would I recognize her?
Well, I don't know what she's been in recently.
Let me see here.
How old is she?
I think she's in her mid-30s.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but she was incredible in the film, though. I mean, she definitely, it was definitely centered around her and the half-amphibian, half-man. But she played a great role. Of course, it was one of these roles where there was no words because she was a mute, so there was a lot of acting. There was a lot of, like, deep, you know, her presence on the screen was always felt because you were truly focused on her face and her whole character, right? So she definitely stole the show. Octavia Spencer, who plays her friend Zelda, she also had a big role in the movie. And they worked off of each other, but Sally Hawkins definitely stole the show, and she made herself the centerpiece of the movie.
So the movie has 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. Does that surprise you?
It does surprise me a little bit.
Okay, what would you expect it to have on?
Honestly, after watching the movie, I would have given it less. I would have probably given it about 70 to 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, and I know we don't want to go against Rotten Tomatoes, but I'm just saying, though, I don't think it was all, you know, there was more. There was more glitz to the movie than there was actual bite you actually break it down.
Now, here comes the spoiler. Clearly, you didn't love it. What was your problem with the film?
Well, look, I know that this is Guillermo del Toro. You know, I was trying to think Labyrinth. I was trying to, you know, kind of put myself in that mind state. There was a great movie visually. I mean, he did his, he left his mark on it visually. But the problem I had in it was the story, even though it was a fantasy, there was nowhere for me to kind of latch onto it, especially when it got to the point where Sally Hawkins, Eliza, where she saves the amphibian and, you know, she takes him home to a safe place.
Her house.
To her house.
Where in her house specifically?
Puts him in the bathroom.
Well, yeah, I assume he needs to be in
Epsom
water.
Epsom salt and certain type of minerals that are supposed to be in the water. She figures it out somehow. She's all of a sudden
she
becomes
a brilliant.
A biologist,
right.
You know,
sure.
She puts him in the bathtub, and then eventually the love story really starts to become really get really passionate because there are several occasions in this movie where Sally Hawkins
gets in
makes
the tub.
Love to this half man, half fish.
What's he got for junk?
That's the crazy part. There is no junk. So they actually,
maybe it's like in a compartment, so it doesn't get all shriveled.
Well, here's the thing. They actually had to go out of their way to explain that.
Oh, tell me.
They went out of their way. Zelda, played by Octavia Spencer, asks her, "How did you do that? Like, where is his junk at?" And, you know, Sally Hawkins explains, "Look, you have to open it up. And then deep inside the crevices of his, you know, groin area, that's where the fish junk is at." And that's how she made love to the half fish, half man.
So do they show like doggy style and all the like what
fishy
are they showing?
Style, they show fishy style.
Yes, he just like wiggling around, yeah, slapping at the walls.
Like when it was getting really hot and heavy, his gills started flicking back and forth.
Oh, they show that?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
his
boy.
Gills were opening up like she would touch him in very sensual ways, and his gills would flap, which made me laugh out loud.
Yeah,
only one laughing,
dude. It was like remember in Jurassic Park when the little dinosaur opens up his gills and everybody freaks out. That was me. I felt like I was watching Jurassic Park all over again. As soon as they started like making sweet love, his gills started flapping. So yeah, I laughed out loud at that part. That's when I kind of
it's hard to really, you know, be serious watching like, you know, a fake creature doing a human.
That's, a little bit of bestiality
yeah,
going on. It's
it
a little bit of bestiality going on.
So
like
I was at a party last night and there were a few women there that had seen this. That I don't even know what party
shame.
It was.
It doesn't matter. Shame on you.
And these women had all seen the movie and they're like, it's the most beautiful love story. And I said, hey, I heard there's bestiality. And they're like, they don't show anything. They don't show anything. They just allude to it.
Yeah, they don't show it. I'm sure they don't show it. You know, they weren't
so
going
to tune
in.
You don't get to see the crevice or
anything. No. It was like four steps away from like softcore porn because it does get very sensual. But you're right. They don't show like any real, you know, action. But it's only because I don't think anybody's going to want to sit through a scene where she actually has to open up his crotch and find his fish junk. So I'm pretty sure they had to write that part out of the movie. But yeah, they definitely allude to it. It's like three or four times. Like Sally Hawkins was getting it on.
All right, what do you give it?
Honestly, out of five pinatas, I give this one 3.5 pinatas.
Now, just
that's good.
It's not too bad because it was visually pleasing. It wasn't interesting and a unique story, but it just lost me when it got down to the fish lovemaking.
All right, so everyone, it has 95% on Rotten Tomato.
Does he smell like a fish a little bit?
I'm assuming he does. I mean, he was captured from the Amazon,
right?
You know, and he's been poked and prod inside
of. Like even just sort of the slimy, like when you touch a fish, it's
the
like,
scaliness.
Bleh.
I mean,
right.
Here's the thing: she actually.
She
kisses
chapped,
him.
Chafy?
She does.
Oh, does he have scales on his face?
Yeah, he's got a fish face.
No tongue or
tongue? He's a fish
face?
Yeah, you don't know what this guy looks like?
No.
You know, like, oh,
let me
you.
Have
Hold
a
on.
Look at this guy.
You know how like a fish always dead or alive?
If you'd be into it.
Right. You know, I mean, is it like a good looking fish face or one of those like really scary, those fish that have like the crazy teeth sticking out?
Here's part of his face.
Look at his face. He looks like an actual fish.
And, wait a minute.
She's making out with it. They're showing
she's
that?
She's making love to this creature.
Oh, God.
So,
go ahead, Vin.
So, as weird, creepy movie creatures go, would you have made out with Edward Scissorhands?
Oh, yeah.
So, you'd have made out with him.
But he's a human.
Edward Scissorhands has
scissors,
lips.
Right. He's got a human face. That is like, I mean, I'm only seeing the top half there. Is he in the water?
Yeah.
Show the whole thing because.
I don't have the whole thing. I mean, that's all I've
only
got.
That, so, there's his
he
face
looks like the
out.
Creature from the Black Lagoon,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, he's an amphibian.
Mixed with the Na'vi
would you hit
from
that?
Avatar.
Would you hit that, Vinny?
I would.
What if you had, cool things you opened up to get at the jump?
I don't want to.
All right, listen, candy. Everyone. Let's move on.
That's where it lost me.
All right, because we're going to talk about a way worse film. Here's your review of Wonder Wheel. Don't rush us.
All right.
It stars Jim Belushi, Juno Temple, Justin Timberlake,
right.
and Kate Winslet. So in this film, Jim Belushi is a miserable drunk, and he's married to Kate Winslet, who is a miserable waitress. And when Jim Belushi's super ungrateful daughter returns, the audience witnesses, me and Rudy, the most pathetic, sad family on the silver screen. Rudy, what an incredibly star-studded cast. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. They definitely had some big-time names on there, and I felt familiar with these names.
This is a Woody Allen film.
This is a Woody Allen film. Does this movie live up to the level of talent it's boasting?
It doesn't. Unfortunately, it doesn't. You would think JT, you know, Jim Belushi, who I know is not, he's more of a TV sitcom guy than he is a silver screen guy, but I was willing to give him a chance. And then you would think Kate Winslet, you would think that there's going to be some really good acting. And also the fact that this movie is written like a play.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I'm the type of person that thinks that when you put a movie on the big screen that's written as a play originally, you're going to give the actors a chance to really stretch their legs and really do their thing. Well, the only person that really took advantage of that was Kate Winslet. I thought she had a powerful performance. But JT, Justin Timberlake, you know, he didn't really live up to it. Jim Belushi, again, just looked like a guy that belongs on TV instead of a movie screen. And it was very underwhelming in
that
department.
How bad was the writing?
The writing, okay. I was thinking about this, Uman. The writing, yes, the movie felt very drawn out. You know, again, it had the play
cheesy
play-like
lines.
Feel. Yes.
A lot of cheesy lines.
It had a play-like feel. But the movie itself, the writing itself, I thought that the elements of, because it's a very sad story at the end, the elements of despair, the elements of hopelessness, I'm a sucker for that type of stuff when it comes to movies. So in that regard, if you're looking for, you know, a story about human tragedy, that's there. That is there. But it was so drawn out, and it was so, Jim Belushi and Justin Timberlake, I don't think they were able to really carry their roles as well as Kate Winslet could. So for that reason, you know, it felt like it was just a lot of unnecessary dialogue in the movie.
Is this the worst film of the year?
No. No, it's still not the worst film of the year.
What's the worst film of the year?
Suburbicon.
Suburbicon is the worst film of the year.
And I Which say that with that? Conviction.
That's George Clooney's movie with Matt Damon and Julianne Moore. And it was on your list this morning of the top 10 worst films of the year.
I forgot who was. So was George Clooney also in it?
No,
he directed it.
Yeah.
And
he
it directed didn't it. Do good in the box office, right?
No. And then you did a story afterwards where George Clooney was saying, I don't care that everyone hates my movie. I just made $1 billion selling my tequila.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. Because he knew exactly what was. Suburbicon was by far the worst. I had more questions at the end of Suburbicon than I've had for any other movie I've seen in the last 10 years. I didn't know if it was about a race war. I didn't know if it was about a family with mob ties. I had no idea what Suburbicon was about. I didn't know if it was about George Clooney's tequila. I had no idea what that movie was about. So that was hands down the worst.
So you've been doing reviews with me for a couple months now.
Right.
Are you bummed out that we've seen so many horrible films together?
You know what, Human? The fact that I get to hang out with you makes everything all right. Makes everything all right. Un poquito loco.
All right, sum it all up. Let me just say this. What a monumental waste of time. I always feel embarrassed when I bring people to films like this. And I can't, you know, it's Woody Allen, so I guess you got to put it out. But it was so bad. I mean, I wish he would have given the screenplay to someone else. Said, could you fix this? Because, you know, you got Kate Winslet up there, and Kate Winslet almost She can deliver anything.
She's great.
And even in this, I was like, oh, Kate, another bad line. Horrible.
She couldn't save it by herself.
She couldn't save it. With that being said, I'm giving it zero Persians. I'm sorry, everyone. Zero.
Wow. I'm gonna give it 1.5 pinatas only because it had those elements that I like. So if you are into human tragedy and a little bit of despair and a little bit of hopelessness at the end of your stories.
Oh, you like that.
I'm into that for a movie because I feel like it's more relatable on a human level.
What's inside your pinatas?
Kate Winslet's tears of despair. Okay. And also probably Woody Allen's wasted money on this movie because I don't think he's gonna make it back.
Next week, everyone, Star Wars.
Ooh. Oh, have you seen it yet?
No, not yet.
Hey, can I have a request? I'm not sure when this movie comes out, but the Matt Damon one where he gets shrunk down?
Yeah.
Downsizing.
Oh my God, I want to see that so bad.
Didn't you think about Rick Moranis and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? That's the first thing I thought.
But this is like fascinating.
Right.
I'm dying to see this movie.
All right, let me call the movie studio today and see what the deal is with this because they haven't sent out, you know who wrote and directed this is Alexander Payne. You know who that is?
No.
Alexander Payne did you see About Schmidt?
No.
Did you see Sideways?
About Schmidt was the Jack Nicholson movie. Right. You saw that.
Did I?
I think he got an Academy Award for it.
Yeah, he won the Academy Award for that. Yeah.
I don't know if I saw it. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, Sideways was good.
Did you see The Descendants?
Yes.
With George Clooney?
Yep, that was good.
One of his only good movies.
There we go.
Anyway, this is an Alexander Payne movie. Anything Alexander Payne does is incredible.
All right. So
Downsizing is going to be good.
When is it opening and can you guys see it?
It is supposed to open on December 22nd. So Rudy is coming back the very last week before we go on vacation. And that week we're going to review a Jessica Chastain movie. We're going to review a Hugh Jackman film. And then I'll see if he can see Downsizing.
Awesome.
And then we can mention that as well.
Give me in there, homie. Let me at him.
All right, great job, you guys. Thank you. Rudy, you're sticking around and joining us for the secret show.
Most definitely.
Where are you performing?
Well, I'm gonna be in Reno in case anybody's gonna be in Reno this Sunday at the Pioneer Underground, and then I'll be back in the Bay Area at the Ocean Ale House on the 13th, and then at Hop Dogma Brewery on the 14th in El Granada.
All right, perfect. Should be a good time. Can they go to RudyOrtiz.com?
They can go to RudyOrtiz.com and check it out. Check everything out there.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Fun show today. Good job on the movies reviews from Hooman and our friend Rudy.
Mm-hmm. I guess, do you want to see either of those movies?
Not really.
Nope.
I might have to go see that Shape of Water. That dude is beastly. I was thinking a dude, like they said Merman at first. I'm thinking like a ripped dude.
Yeah.
Like Aquaman, but with like a fishtail. No, it's like a fish. The whole, and like one of those gross fish, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the googly ones.
Yucky.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I have to cackle at that, too, I feel like, you know? And his gills start rippling and stuff.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
God.
I'll wait for it to come on my HBO or whatever.
I'm going to skip it entirely.
Yeah.
I want to see the making love part.
Maybe we could just watch clips online using.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone will isolate all the best bestiality scenes from that movie. So anyway, good job on the movie review. And Rudy is going to join us for an uncensored secret show.
Right. Yeah,
the reviews are in. People like it.
Yeah, they are using some very foul. I'm very upset with the language that our listeners are using to convey how much they like the foul language we're using.
I would just like to say to Entercom, thank you.
Yes.
So very much.
You're the best.
You are the best.
I really did enjoy being a CBS employee, but some of the stuff that was going on it made it harder to do what we now. I feel like, okay, I want to do that show now.
Uh-huh. I know. Our podcast can be out there with the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. And poor Bryn is free.
I know.
He's been set free.
That's great.
He can go home now.
All right, well, listen, have a great rest of the day. Keep it on Alice. We've got more Disneyland tickets. We have more chances for you to win your way to Vegas for New Year's Eve. And we'll see you tomorrow, which is going to be
Friday.
See you then.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.